The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Welcome to the Blonde Files podcast. I'm your host, Ariel Lori, and I'm here to talk all things wellness, from how to achieve optimal health and well-being to the best beauty tips and everything in between. No topic is off limits. I know there's so much information out there, so I'm bringing on expert guests and sharing my own experiences to help you sift through all the wellness stuff without the BS. Enjoy the show. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I have such a fascinating episode for you today, especially if you are into anti-aging or just aging and how to support your body throughout the decades. I'm talking to Gregory Kelly. So he is the director of product development at Neurohacker Collective. He's a naturopathic physician. Dr. Kelly has published hundreds of articles on natural medicine and nutrition. He's contributed 3 chapters to the textbook of natural medicine and has more than 30 journal articles indexed on PubMed. His areas of expertise include nootropics, anti-aging and regenerative medicine, weight management, sleep, and the chronobiology of performance and health. And today we are talking a lot about senescence and senolytic cells and how these contribute to aging and what to do about it. This was so interesting to me because this was a topic that I knew nothing about going into this interview. So I had to learn about it a little bit myself prior to speaking to Dr. Kelly. And then I learned so much from him. And I think you guys are really going to love this. So if you are in your late 20s or older, you can add Qualia Senolytic to your diet, and it can play a crucial role in combating negative aging symptoms. You can go to neurohacker.com/blonde for up to 50% off Qualia Senolytic. And as a listener of the Blonde Files podcast, when you use the code blonde at checkout, you get an extra 15% off your first purchase. That's neurohacker.com/blonde to try Qualia Senolytic with the code blonde and start aging on your terms. So check it out if you guys are interested, and I hope you love this episode. Welcome.
Thanks. Lovely to be here with you today.
Really happy to meet you. And we're talking about one of my favorite topics, which is aging and health as it relates to aging. And, you know, I think that the science behind what you do is so fascinating. And I'm really looking forward to delving into all of that, because I think when we think about aging, we just think about getting older and maybe what that looks like and what that feels like. But we're going to be talking more about what's happening on a cellular level, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of as above, so below, right? If we take good care of them, they take good care of ourselves and them being ourselves.
So why don't we just start by having you give the audience a little background about yourself and, you know, who you are and what you do.
By profession, I'm a naturopathic doctor. I'm graduated from a college that back in the day was called Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine in the Tempe area. And now I believe it's Sonoran University is what they go by. I currently work as vice president of product development for a company named Neurohacker Collective. We're best known for our brand called Qualia. And we'll touch base on a product called Qualia Senolytic today. In my career, that spanned, graduated in 96, so 27 years, I've done a whole bunch of different things. But most recently, I've been, I would say, primarily focused on brain and getting our brain to work better, and then healthy aging. So, you know, excited to share a bit more about what that looks like with you and your listeners.
We think about aging externally, what that looks like, and maybe what that feels like, you know, different kind of degenerative diseases and muscles atrophying and all of that. But what really is aging?
Yeah, before we get into that, let's just kind of maybe start at the highest level. And that's because there's different ways, just at a more global perspective, to think of it, right? So we have our birth age, so our chronological age. I think, you know, you and I, probably all of the listeners, we want to be or feel younger than that. So then we get into things like perceived age. So perceived age would be if we just took a random group of people from the internet and showed them pictures of you and I, how old would they think we are? So ideally, we want to have that less than our chronological age. Then there's what might be called felt age, right? How, if you ask someone like, how old do you feel? Which again, most of us, maybe 100% of us want to feel younger than the number of times that the calendar is turned over. Then you start to have things like functional age, which functional MDs, naturopaths have measured for years, doing things like grip strength and other measures that would give an insight into, you know, are you functioning at a level that's your age, older than your age, younger? And much more recently, there's been an effort to do what I would label as biological age or cellular age, like how old do your cells act? And when we get into the topic today of cellular senescence, that's really talking specifically about the like an aging process that happens with cells. And as I mentioned, that translates to really all the things that we think of with age. So, you know, the physical things, like the things someone else would look at and perceive us to be older, or the functional issues I mentioned. So really, in a big picture sense, what aging is the passage of time, but it affects us unevenly, meaning that some of our tissues may be younger, the same age or older, you know, then cells will contribute to that. So I think for the audience listening, the key takeaway is that, you know, I know I want to be able to live my life my way for as many years as I'm on the planet, or as close to the end as I can. Mm-hmm. And when I think of aging, it's that process that interferes with that. Mm-hmm. And the goal then is to do things, I think of them as investments, whether that's diet, lifestyle, supplements, you name it, to get as close to the end, being as healthy and alive as we can be.
Right. And that's key, right? Quality of life, not just quantity of life, because why, you know, live that extra 10, 15 years, be a, you know, over 100 years old if you have no quality of life and you don't have your faculties about you, you know, for the last decade or so? That just seems like a nightmare.
Yeah, I saw something not too long ago, and they looked at people that were 60 and older and estimated how long they would live on average from then. And it was about 85 once you made it to 60. And then how many of those years you were disabled or needed assistance, you know, assistant living, or, you know, like full on care. And it was about roughly a third on average, which I'm sure all of us want to do much better than that.
Yeah. I'm curious if you can even say, when does the decline start? You know, if somebody is 60 years old and then they're going to have this sharp decline between then and the time that they're 85, does that start in your 40s? I mean, I know that they're saying that kind of neurodegenerative diseases start decades before you're even symptomatic. So does it just kind of depend on the person, or like, when do we really have to start thinking about our aging?
I mean, I would say even before 40. So I would think somewhere after the peak of reproductive health. So for men and women, that's usually going to be somewhere mid to late 20s. And the idea would be that we're not selected for aging. We're selected evolutionarily to pass on our genes, right? So once that's done, keeping us around is not as important. And then I think both genes and then whatever we've done to invest in our health dictate largely that combination, how, you know, quickly or slowly we age. And I mean, going back to that idea of perceived age, right? Like if we, so I'm 62. If we had pictures for a whole bunch of different 62-year-olds, there would some that look like they're aging, so to speak, in dog years, right? They look older than that. There's others that are going to look about right. There'll be maybe some that look younger. And that perceived age actually is very predictive. Like, you know, get a big enough group of us together, we kind of crowdsource a good insight into how healthy that person is just by our perceptions of it. Mm-hmm. That would be the case for any of the, you know, whether it's functional age, biological age, these things predict our future. And so if, you know, we're healthier than our chronological age, or younger in a sense than our chronological age, it bodes well for the future and for the present.
So. Interesting. Well, I don't know if that would apply to a lot of the people in LA, because everybody's getting Botox. So they look younger, but they might not be healthier on the inside.
So what I've seen studies on, and I don't want to get off tangent what our brain is, you know, evolved to associate with age is much more things like complexion, like the radiance, glow, things like that, than wrinkles. Mm-hmm. So someone could be over wrinkled and that may, you know, like set off, oh, this person's much older or looks much older. But I think our, you know, what we evolved to do can't so much, so easily be bypassed by just Botox. I know when I see that doesn't translate at least into how I assess age.
Right. Right.
There's much
it's
more.
Not the wrinkles.
Yeah. It's just much more that goes into it. So.
What are some of the hallmarks of aging?
Yeah. So the hallmarks of aging is this super cool model that scientists put out around 2013. And originally they said, okay, these are the characteristics that all organisms, whether they're, you know, worms, flies, mice, rats, monkeys, all the way up to humans, seem to share as they get older. And in the beginning of 2023, they updated that. So it was called Hallmarks of Aging, an Expanding Universe. And they added three new ones. So now there's 12 hallmarks of aging. So the key thing is just think of these as characteristics. They're underlying mechanisms, so to speak, that seem to be shared as we age. And these are things like our stem cells getting exhausted and no longer being able to do a good job making new cells. Our telomeres becoming too short because DNA has copied itself over and over again. Our mitochondria becoming dysfunctional. Another one is gut dysbiosis. So the gut microbiome fundamentally being old compared to if we looked at a younger person. So there's these list of 12s, and one of them is called cellular senescence, which is the main one we'll talk about today. But what cellular senescence means is that some cells, instead of essentially either being healthy or having died off, they've found this limbo space between where they're not healthy and they're not making healthy offspring, but they haven't finished their journey to what would be thought of as falling off, a term called apoptosis. And they're just lingering in our tissues. And over time, more and more of them accumulate. So because they're in this no man's land in between is why they're often thought of as zombie cells.
And what is the detriment of having these cells? What happens when they're just in that limbo phase?
The way I would think of it, I had to at one point explain this to our head of marketing, who's an avid gardener. So I said, like think of the plants that you're caring for in your garden. If your plants had all vibrant green leaves, then they're really healthy, right? They're making good use of what nutrition and water they're pulling from the soil. But now imagine you have some that are starting to yellow. So as long as there's one or two and they eventually fall off the plant, no big deal. And think of that falling off as akin to apoptosis, that process cells eventually should go through to die. Apoptosis actually means falling off in Greek. What happened in that plant, yellow leaves are basically taking resources that would be better spent in keeping the healthy green leaves doing their job. Yellow leaves kind of beget more yellow leaves, right? They can attract pests. They can do other things that would cause nearby leaves to yellow. And ultimately, if we don't prune those away, the whole plant will suffer, if not die prematurely. And senescent cells accumulating in our tissue are very akin to those yellow leaves. They're basically cells that are taking up space, but they're not doing their job anymore. They're using resources that would be better spent elsewhere. And if we prune them away, it allows room for new growth. And so when you think of senescent cells writ large, just think, oh, these are things that very much like a plant that's struggling, as they accumulate in my tissues and organs, those will also struggle to function well.
So many of us want to eat healthy and clean. We try to avoid toxins and hormone disruptors in our products, but then we are cooking on toxic cookware. So most cookware and appliances are actually made with forever chemicals. This is where Our Place comes in. It is a mission-driven, female-founded brand that makes beautiful kitchen products that are healthy and sustainable. Their products are made without PFAS and Teflon. So in comparison, most of today's nonstick pans contain PFAS, also known as forever chemicals, which are under increasing global scrutiny for their impact on the environment and our health. Most cookware brands continue to use these chemicals due to their low cost. So our place has always been PFAS free. They offer the most durable, toxin-free ceramic coatings, ensuring a healthy, safe cooking experience. In addition to cookware, PFAS are also frequently used in appliances, especially air fryers, pressure cookers, crock pots, and even the rim of blenders, which is why our place came out with non-toxic appliances that are changing the game. You guys have probably seen me share on Instagram my blender from our place. It's the perfect size. It's really powerful. It's also really quiet. It comes with a lid so I can blend my matcha and then I can put this lid on and I can carry it around during the day. Everything that our place makes is beautifully designed in beautiful colors that feel like basically art objects that elevate any home and make you feel more creative in the kitchen. So find out why our place has 75,000 five-star reviews on their award-winning products and why they've been mentioned in the New York Times, Bon Appetit, and more. So upgrade to our place today and say goodbye to forever chemicals in your kitchen. Go to fromourplace.com and enter my code blonde at checkout to receive 10% off site-wide. That's fromourplace.com and the code is blonde. Also, our place offers a 100-day trial with free shipping and returns. I highly recommend their cookware, but I also highly recommend checking out this blender. It's my favorite thing that I've gotten recently. Again, fromourplace.com and the code is blonde. When it comes to hydration, I think a lot of people only think about getting enough fluids, but really it's about getting enough fluids and electrolytes. Electrolytes are a key component of healthy hydration. So physiologically, there are so many things under the hood when your electrolyte levels are dialed in that I think people don't really know. So it helps to maintain steady energy. Potassium and magnesium support the processes that convert stored energy, aka calories, into usable energy, which is ATP. Electrolytes also impact energy by regulating hormones, maintaining fluid balance and blood pressure, regulating heartbeat, promoting restful sleep, and so much more. They also help to improve cognitive function. Sodium regulates the fluid balance in and around the brain. And they help transmit signals between neurons, which literally allows us to think. So with proper electrolyte balance, you can pretty much say goodbye to brain fog. Also, when you're dehydrated or lacking electrolytes, you can get headaches, muscle cramps, feel lethargic, and so much more. So a lot of us are not getting the electrolytes that we need. And this can be due to a number of things. So athletes, for example, can lose up to 7 grams of sodium per day through sweat. Also, I know that there's an emphasis on a diet that is full of whole foods, unprocessed foods, low in sodium, but restricting sodium to fewer than 2.3 grams per day has been linked to higher rates of heart attack and stroke in heart disease patients. So 5 grams per day was the sweet spot for optimal health outcomes. Also, if you are just an active person, if you have a few glasses of wine, you can be low on electrolytes. So Element has your electrolyte needs covered. I have been drinking Element for years. It has 1,000 milligrams of sodium, 200 milligrams of potassium, and 60 milligrams of magnesium. So it contains enough electrolytes to move the needle towards each of those electrolyte goals. And you're also guaranteed to find an Element flavor you love. You can try fan favorites and my favorite, citrus salt or raspberry salt. You can get spicy with mango chili. You can mix chocolate salt into your morning coffee or morning chai. So many flavors. I also love grapefruit and watermelon and orange, pretty much all of the citrus ones, but they're all delicious. So I have an amazing offer for you guys. You can go to drinkelement.com/blonde. And you can get a free sample pack with any purchase, so you can try every flavor. Again, that's drinklmnt.com/blonde for a free sample pack with any purchase. Are there areas in the body or in the tissue where they accumulate more quickly than other areas? For example, our skin, certain organs?
That's a great question. So originally it was thought that the three main areas that senescent cells accumulate would be, one would be called fibroblast cells. So those are connective tissue cells, right? So under our skin, in our joints, kind of the areas between our organs also. Mm-hmm. Immune cells were a second area they were thought to accumulate. And so that would be thought of as immunosenescence, right? The underperformance of the immune system with age. And the third area was the cells that line our vessels, so our arteries. Over time, what's been discovered is that really senescent cells can accumulate in all tissues. So whether that's the brain, muscle tissues, bone, liver, everywhere they've looked in aging, they've found that senescent cells accumulate. And with that accumulation, they just make those organs and tissues really struggle to do mm-hmm. their jobs well.
Is it through a process of inflammation or how do they affect those areas the most?
So some is just taking up space, right? Using up okay. resources, but for mm-hmm. sure, some would have to do with what they secrete. So I mentioned that they're often referred to zombie cells, referring mm-hmm. to senescent cells. And part of the reason is because they refuse to die. They, you know, they're not really quite living and healthy, but they refuse to die. So they're resisting apoptosis. But the other reason is they secrete things into that microenvironment surrounding them. Mm. And that those compounds can cause nearby healthy cells to also become senescent. So some of those things that they're secreting would be inflammatory type of markers, cytokines, and things along those natures. So mm-hmm. that combination of both using resources, taking up space, and then acting almost like real life zombies and turning otherwise healthy cells into more senescent cells is mm-hmm. why they're so problematic with aging.
So how did you land on senolytics? And tell us what those are.
Really, I would say the field of senescent cells has exploded since, say, 2010, and eventually birthed the term senolytics. So quick history mm-hmm. lesson. Senescent cells have been known about, you know, originally the first scientific research would be something called the Hayflick limit from about 1961. But really, the term senescent cells or cellular senescence, it has been around for decades. But around 2010, scientists did this experiment where they genetically modified rodents to not express senescent cells when they aged. And what they found was, oh my goodness, these animals are so much healthier than the ones that do. So at the time, that was super cool. But all right, we're not going to genetically modify, you know, any of us, right, that are living. Right. And in 2015, researchers at Mayo Clinic and the Scripps Institute of Aging teamed up. And what they did is they looked to see if they could find compounds that, if given, would do things to cause the senescent cells to fundamentally be pruned away from tissues. And they did. They identified quercetin being one, which is an ingredient found in onions, but also used in the dietary supplement industry. And they gave the term for that category of compounds that could help senescent cells be removed from the body of senolytics. So senolytics fundamentally would be things that we take orally that help prune away the senescent cells that have accumulated over time.
And why is it important to supplement? Because you mentioned you can get something like quercetin through onions. And I would imagine that some of these compounds are found in, you know, other herbs or in the foods that we ingest. But is it kind of a dosing thing where we just can't possibly get that from our lifestyle alone?
So quercetin is interesting because, you know, like you'll see all over the internet, oh, onions, right? But do you know what part of onions quercetin concentrates in?
No.
All the parts we throw out, you know, that tough outer skin, the stems, those types of things. And what you would see, that's the case with most polyphenols. So quercetin is a polyphenol. And the clue to something being a polyphenol is often that IN at the end.
Mm.
That doesn't mean everything with IN as a plant compound is a polyphenol and that all polyphenols have the IN. But most, you'll see that, for like curcumin, bisetin, quercetin, like on and on. But getting back to your question, we would need to eat a lot of onions, even if we were eating the parts that we normally throw out, to get that degree of quercetin. And then some of the other polyphenols that have been identified since, quercetin being one. You'll see quercetin referred to as being in a lot of plants, with strawberries being a good source, but we would have to eat many, many pounds of strawberries to get sufficient amounts of quercetin to have a senolytic activity. So the way I tend to think of it, there's senolytic compounds, but for that compound to have a senolytic benefit, we have to get a substantial amount of it, which is way beyond what we can get from our diet.
Got it. And what is that activity? How does that work in our bodies to prune away those cells? Because I'm sure everybody listening is going, I want to prune those cells. I certainly do. I want those out of my body, using up resources. And I know my audience, they love the science behind everything. So you can get into the nitty gritty.
And just before we get into that, I want them to do that to mine as well. Yeah. That's why, you know, I was a big booster of getting us to make this product. And I think I've been taking it, well, since I was the first one that took it, I'm certain I've taken it longer than anyone else currently on the planet. Getting back to like why. So I mentioned earlier that a characteristic of senescent cells, one is that they secrete these things into the environment. So those are called SASP factors, senescence associated secretory phenotype. And phenotype just means kind of the behavior of those cells. But another characteristic is what would be called resisting apoptosis. So they've figured out a way not to go through this falling off process that cells naturally go through after they've, you know, been like, I guess, stepping back. So cells, just like human beings, have their own life cycles. And you'll often see this idea that a cell will live for about 7 years on average. And that average is true and misleading. And by that, I mean, in some tissues, like the neurons in our brain, they live a lifetime, that we don't replace those. Cells in our heart, those will live about 4 decades. Muscle cells, somewhere about 15 years. Other cells turn over really quickly. So 7 years is an average, but cells are constantly being born, living their lives, and going through this apoptosis or falling off process. And one of the things that would cause a cell to go through that process would be stress. So if cells are stressed, their first instinct is going to be, I'll toughen myself up. I'll make more antioxidant defenses, maybe more glutathione. I'll be more prepared to deal with this stress. Mm-hmm. If stress is beyond that, they're probably going to take on a bit of damage. And that's where something like autophagy that your listeners may have heard. Autophagy is a repair process that, some damage occurred, maybe in mitochondria, maybe inside the cells. Autophagy is a way to recycle that damage and repair it. But if a cell has taken on so much stress that it's unrepairable, that's when senescence gets activated. Mm-hmm. And so autophagy, think of as something that would prevent senescence. But once a cell has become senescent, the key thing then is that it should ideally, now it's been so stressed, we don't want to make it copies. We should now let it funnel through this process of apoptosis. So when we're young, most senescent cells would complete that journey. The ones we're talking about in aging, I usually describe as lingering senescent cells. They've kind of figured out a way to outsmart apoptosis. And they do that with mechanisms that are called SCAP networks. And SCAP stands for S and C, so senescent cell. And A is for anti-apoptotic and P pathways. So there's these, like, think of like networks of proteins inside a cell that they're exploiting to linger long after their, you know, say, sell by date or eat by date has passed. And so when you think in terms of senolytics, like the quercetin or fisetin, what they're doing is they're normalizing those SCAP networks so that these cells can finally go through that last step and get to apoptosis. And then I'm sometimes asked, well, then what? Like, do we detox them out? Like, you know, they come out.
That was going to be my next question. Where do they go?
They actually disintegrate. And then the immune system gobbles up those little pieces and recycles them. So very much like a leaf that would actually have fallen off the plant into the soil that's then recycled for new growth. So they're not detoxed in the sense that we would normally think of that. They're actually reused and repurposed to make new, healthier cells.
I think a lot of people are becoming skeptics when it comes to their health and wellness trends and all of that. If you can spot a too good to be true health hack from a mile away and you can read labels like it's your job, congratulations, you are a skeptic. And Ritual knows that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your standards. Their clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has high quality, traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. So if you haven't listened to my episode with Kat Schneider, the founder of Ritual, I think it was back in September. It is such a fascinating episode where she talks about the importance of traceability and bioavailability and what goes into a supplement. So in the Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin, it has 9 key nutrients in 2 delayed release capsules that optimize your body's absorption. It's gentle on an empty stomach. They have a minty essence in every bottle that helps making your multis actually enjoyable. I love that detail. Also, Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is USP verified. So you know you can trust what you are putting in your body. It essentially means that the product contains the ingredients actually listed on the label. And Ritual uses scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging. They prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients and set ambitious climate goals. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp, meaning they are holding themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of people and our planet. So no more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust, and you can get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/blonde. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today at ritual.com/blonde for 25% off. If you get overwhelmed by wellness and feel like you just don't have the time to prioritize it, I have to introduce you to Allo Moves. This app makes it so easy to keep wellness routines on track because they literally have everything in one place. It's not just a fitness app. They have yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, of course, but they also have mindfulness. They have self-care tips. They have healthy recipes and so much more. So when it comes to working out, they have everything from beginner to advanced. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you are feeling that day. They have everything from sweat-inducing yoga flows to HIIT classes to reformer Pilates with or without weights. But like I said, it's so much more. They have amazing meditations. They have affirmations. They have face yoga, which I've been doing. They have gua sha, which I've been doing. Dry brushing. I learned how to dry brush off of the Allo Moves app. They have journaling for those quiet moments. And they even have things for sleep. So we know that sleep is just as important as fitness and nutrition. I always say sleep is the foundation of my life and my wellness. Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I have been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer. So unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use the code BLONDE30 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's allomoves.com. The code is BLONDE30. Again, allomoves.com, code BLONDE30. It's just incredible how complex the body is. I mean, down to, you know, cellular health. I'm sure the majority of people, when we think about health, we think about it on a macro level. You know, we're not thinking, oh, what is happening inside my cell right now? You know, we're thinking about the big things, kind of those hallmarks that we were talking about earlier. But it's just so complex. It's incredible.
It really is. And what's, you know, it seems like it's a wormhole that the deeper you go, the further it goes, right? Science, the things that science knew when I was doing biochemistry, say, back in 93, you know, there's just so much more known. It seems like every year there's new things that are discovered that we had no idea of before.
Yeah. And I think with that comes this feeling that we should be doing everything. And it's hard to know just as a consumer or a layperson, you know, what should I be taking? Does this apply to me? Because there are so many things out there that sound like they are not only relevant, but really important. So who should be taking Senolytics? Should it be everybody starting kind of at that age that we were talking about before, like maybe a little after our peak reproductive age when we need to start thinking about aging and longevity and all of that? Or can anybody take it at any time?
I would typically say start somewhere like, you know, mid-30s as the ideal time. So I guess stepping back. So the people that will be most impacted by the accumulation of senescent cells are people that more years have passed, or for whatever their given age, they've just taken on more stress. Because stress is probably the number one factor that drives senescence in most tissues. And so whatever, you know, causes cellular stress, but in many cases, those are the same things that cause stress for our whole body, right? So if someone's had a more stressful lifestyle, they may have accumulated more at that point in time compared to someone that has had a more, you know, a less stressful lifetime, so to speak. And then what typically scientists think is the idea of a threshold effect. And maybe think allergies, because allergies seem to work similar. For someone with allergies, if pollen's below a certain threshold, they may not have any symptoms. They still may be allergic to whatever that is in the environment, but it's manageable. So there's some thought senescent cells are similar, that as long as we keep them pruned enough that they're below a certain amount in our tissues, we won't suffer any of the negative consequences. And what that threshold is impossible to tell. It would vary, even in you and I, that may be different in different tissues in terms of how close we are or whether we're above that threshold. And if someone's already experiencing something that you characteristically would think of as worsening with age, so maybe their joints are a little stiffer or less comfortable, or you know, they're feeling like their skin isn't as resilient to the environment as when they were younger, or you know, whether it's like liver function, you name it, isn't quite where it is, where they would like it to be, or where it was, you know, in a younger version of themselves, then at least there's some possibility, and likely a fairly strong one, that senescent cells are contributing somewhat to that. In which case, then, yeah, it becomes more important, in my opinion, to start to do things to try to manage them much more effectively. So I guess the way I would think about it is you'd almost have two subsets of people. You'd have people that want to prune them away to make sure they're keeping them well below the threshold in advance of there being any potential issues that they would experience. And then there's people that may already be suffering or experiencing one or more things that would characteristically be thought of as aging. They probably want to prune them away more aggressively and get started right away. So, you know, often what I would say is, you know, oh, you're 30, 35, you want to just be preventive. Maybe do something like quasi-senolytic once a quarter. You're, you know, 65, you've already had a lot of wear and tear, you're struggling with maybe, you know, joints or other thing. Like maybe you want to be a slightly more aggressive and do a couple, what we would think of as cycles. So one of the cool things about senolytics is it's not a like a multivitamin where you take it every day, every day. From the beginning, it's been thought of as hit and run dosing, is the way scientists describe it, but intermittent approach to it. And again, for the listeners, think of that idea of pruning. You wouldn't want to prune a plant every day. The poor thing would be destroyed if we did that. You want to prune it as it's needed. And so with senolytics, typically the goal is to take that really big dose that we talked about to get that senolytic benefit, but then have a period of time where you're not doing a senolytic compound in that quantity, right? Like the amount of onions or, you know, quercetin, quercetin in your diet, not a big deal. And so when I say cycles, what I'm meaning is that the couple of days, maybe once a month that you're doing the product, maybe for someone that's 65, they want to be a little more aggressive. Maybe they do it twice a month instead of once a month. For someone like me, that's I'm 62, I mentioned earlier, I'm trying to just maintain good health, make a good investment in my future. I do it once a month. And I always do it the very first weekend of the month. I take quasi-senolytic. And, you know, maybe the younger Greg, if he still existed, 30, pretty good health, maybe once a quarter is how I think about it.
See, my problem is if I hear that something is helpful, then I'll do more than what's recommended. So even though I'm 38, I'm like, I would do it every weekend. I wanted to talk about the dosing though, because that's really interesting to me. So you're kind of doing this hit and run dosing, like you said. Do you feel anything? Do you feel any differently while you're taking this? And then what are some effects that people report feeling after? Do they see differences in their skin? Do they have less joint pain? Are they sleeping better? Like, what are some of the things that you've experienced and that some, you know, other consumers have experienced that you've heard about?
Sure. So get to the first one. So what happens on those 2 days a month when, you know, I take it or other people take it? And initially we thought very much like, oh, we might see what you'd almost think of as detox types of symptoms, right? But we really surprisingly don't see that. You know, what we'll see, and there's a lot of polyphenols in it. And polyphenols often, quite a bit of those will get into our gut microbiome where they're metabolized. So it's not unusual to see some, you know, transitory change in stools for those couple days. a lot of the pigments, quercetin, quercetin, curcumin, luteolin, are bright yellow. You know, so you'll often see that change in color. But in terms of physical symptoms, we really don't see much. Like occasionally someone will say, oh, like, you know, it was maybe a little bit more sluggish day, or, you know, slight headache. But that's like maybe one out of 25 or one out of 30 people we've seen that in. So generally you'd see that with a placebo. So surprisingly that we see this as really tolerable. The second part is like, well, you know, what then do people comment they experience? And we've done three studies to date on qualia senolytic. The first two would be what we think of as pilot studies. So meaning there was no placebo. They were more just, you know, understanding, does it seem worth doing a placebo-controlled study in this area? And the very first of those, we recruited people with joint challenges. So just think of the kind of normal challenges that, you know, starting at 40, many people begin to experience, you know, so stiffness in their joints, discomfort, challenges, just doing some activities of daily living. It's like, you know, comfortably getting in and out of a car or going upstairs. So we recruited people that were already struggling in that area. We did three cycles of quiet senolytic. So again, a cycle would be taking it for 2 days, having some window, some gap when you're not taking it. And then we repeated that for three cycles. So we did that over about 5 weeks. So, you know, so they would have fundamentally taken like two cycles during a month and started their second month with another cycle. And what we saw in that original study was about a 65% improvement in the things we were looking at. So we're like, oh, that's super cool. So then the next study, we used something called the RAND-SF-36. And that's 36 has to do with the number of questions, but that's a general health and quality of life questionnaire that has several different like subcategories in it. One's energy, one's you'd think of as like functional health as it's impacted by your physical health, one's functional health as impacted by emotional health. There's a few things like that. And again, we saw the biggest changes both in energy and in that emotional well-being component. So that when people did the three cycles, they were less impacted in their daily lives by, you know, mood or things that would be related that can, you know, play a big role in preventing us from having the kind of day in, day out quality of life we want. So we then decided to do, okay, like these are both showed benefits. Let's do a placebo controlled study and measure both, but let's use the joints as our primary. That was completed towards the end of 2023, that placebo controlled study. And again, we saw about a 68% overall improvement in joint symptoms over three cycles of qualia senolytic. In the RAND-SF-36, so energy improved about 64%. At the placebo group, it was about 32%. And that trended towards statistical significance. So for listeners, what that means is it didn't quite meet the P.05 threshold. It was just slightly below that. And then we saw, I think it was about an 84% improvement in the functions that would be normally impacted by emotional well-being. So those were those are the two areas that seem most commonly, or three areas, like joints, energy, and then I would think of it almost as the gut-brain axis. Right. And the brain part of that's always like resilience to stress and mood. And so those three things to date in what we've focused on have shown up consistently. But then in users, we get all kinds of strange things. So one, I have a really close friend. I've known him since we were eight. So I roped him in pretty early after it became available to take it. And he contacted me, I think it was about 3 months later. So he'd taken it for 3 months at that point. And he does a lot with fostering dogs. And what he said is for years, he'd been really restricted trying to throw like this motion because of something back here. And that all of a sudden he could comfortably do that again. So end of one, maybe unrelated, right? But it had bothered him for a long time. And that had been the only thing that changed. We've had, and this is, I think, a really strange one. We've had that I know of five different women that had stopped menstruating and started again after taking qualia senolytic, which would seem to mean they're doing something to rejuvenate that system in a sense. So, you know, but energy, you know, seems to be, you know, a very, very common one. And, you know, anything to do with countering the, I would say, the inflammation that can accumulate with age seems to also be common. And then the next study, at least that we plan on doing, will look at more at cognition with aging, because I think we'll see something there as well. but premature so far.
And again, do you think that that is related to the gut as well, or is it the gut and the brain?
I think it's both. I mean, there's always, if you can impact the gut, you generally have a strong impact on that mood area, right? Mood, stress. Mm-hmm. But the other thing, especially in an aging brain, so we have our neurons, right? Like everyone knows about those for the brain, but then you have all kinds of support cells. And one of those are called microglia. And microglia are really like the macrophages or the basic immune cell for the brain. And what you see with a lot of issues with brain function and the passage of time is the compounds that microglia secrete cause, again, that almost inflammaging-y type of response, right? So because the brain is so sensitive to that, I think a lot of, you know, what we think of as, you know, the brain fog or memory or things like that are, you know, you don't experience because you're 38 and doing all kinds of great things, but many, many people do. So, you know, I'm at least curious to see what, if any, impact we have there. And, you know, the Qualia brand, originally our first product was a nootropic, so, you know, a brain product. And so brain's always one of our main interests.
As I record this, I am about to go play tennis and then I have a meeting and then I have to go record. So when it comes to what I wear, I need something that is versatile that I can wear as activewear, innerwear, and outerwear. And that is where M by Maidenform comes in. So currently I am wearing the seamless crop tank wireless bralette. I am obsessed. I have it in every color. It's so comfortable to wear when you're working out. But it's also like enough of a crop tank that you can wear it as outerwear as well. And it looks super cute. So M is a collection from Maidenform. It's a brand with 100 years of innovation and category leadership. They basically wrote the book on bras and M is the next juicy chapter. I am telling you, you really have to feel it to believe it. They have the yummiest, butteriest, soft fabrics that feel way more expensive than they are. Every style is amazing and won't break the bank. They make on-trend designs from stretchy, comfy fabrics in incredible colors, and it can be worn as innerwear or outerwear. You totally style it to your taste. You can create looks that serve for everybody or nobody to see. So get a taste of M. It's a hot new collection of craveable intimates from Maidenform, a brand with a whole lot of history. They've been around since the very first bras, and now they are bringing you a new kind of classic, the chicest basics you have ever seen. And you guys know I love a chic basic. That's how I would describe my style if I had to. So visit maidenform.com and use the code blondefiles20 at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. That's maidenform.com and the code is blondefiles20 for 20% off your first order. In this episode, we are learning all about senolytic cells and why cellular senescence is one of the hallmarks of aging. I found this to be truly fascinating because it's not really anything that you hear about anywhere else, especially in the wellness world and all of the anti-aging advice that's out there. The good news is that we can incorporate this micro habit taking Qualia Senolytic. And it has so many far-reaching benefits that you hear about in this episode. The research is absolutely fascinating. And if you guys want to try it, if you're in your late 20s or older, adding Qualia Senolytic to your diet can play a crucial role in combating negative aging symptoms. So you can go to neurohacker.com/blonde for up to 50% off Qualia Senolytic. And as a listener of the Blonde Files podcast, you can use the code blonde at checkout for an extra 15% off your first purchase. That's neurohacker.com/blonde to try Qualia Senolytic with the code blonde and start aging on your terms. What are some lifestyle things that we can do to support our bodies? And also, are there lifestyle things that we can do to support the efficacy of these senolytics, or are they really just they do the job themselves?
No matter what else we do, if all we did was live our current life and do something to prune them away or better manage them once a month, that's a good investment. And I tend to think for the audience, like health very much like the stock market, right? There's no certainties. All at the end of the day, are we making good investments given what we know, or are we gambling given what we know, or are we just ignoring it completely, right? Hoping for the best. And, you know, so I think I've seen analytics personally for me as something that the risk reward is exceptional, right? Meaning that especially using the plant-based compounds, the risk is low, potential payoff is great. And I want to get to, you know, the same place that my dad got to and be way healthier than he was, or, you know, my mom. The things that we might do, like what other good investments can we make? And so to date, senescent cells is such a new area and they're so hard to measure. There's just not any single marker that we could look at in our blood and say, oh, like this is an indicator of cellular senescence. Instead, scientists have to really know what they're doing, take biopsies, do several different screenings, and then say, okay, yeah, this is senescent cell. So because of that, there's just not the science yet that's been done on all kinds of different lifestyle things for gauging their contribution. But so far, we do know that exercise helps slow down or reduce the accumulation of senescent cells with age, which makes sense, right? That caloric restriction also would look like it does a role in preventing. But once the senescent cells are there, there's no evidence that those things prune them away. So what I personally think is, okay, we want to, you know, slow down that process. So invest in good things. And then, as I mentioned, stress, you know, cellular stress, but the same things that cause a cell to be stressed, like radiation or, you know, poor nutrition or you name it, cause us to be stressed. So the things that, or my guess is that many of the things we know cause us stress will eventually be found to contribute to senescent cells, at least in some tissues. So I would be shocked, as an example, if drinking excessive amounts of alcohol didn't speed up that process in the liver, as an example. And then in terms of getting them to work better, I think the main thing is just being, unlike what you said, oh, I want to do it more frequently. It's do it and give them a time now to sort things out. So like almost, you know, when I was a young person just starting out, all right, well, I want to lift weights. And if I lift more weights more frequently, that'll be even better. And I completely missed the boat on it's also important to recover, right? So so I would say that, you know, the main thing is just, you know, take them, don't overcomplicate it. Just take something like cholecystinolytic 1 weekend a month or 2 days when it's convenient with you and get on doing the other good things in your life.
Amazing. So fascinating. Thank you so much for coming on and explaining all of that to us. And where can everybody find cholecystinolytics and learn more about everything?
Yeah, so our website is neurohacker.com. We're really prominent on social media, on Instagram. So that's by far the best way to follow us is the NeuroHacker Instagram account. And then on X, the old Twitter, I actually run that because I tend to put more sciencey things. So, you know, if you want to see what, you know, things are popping into my head on a daily basis, you know, find NeuroHacker. I think maybe it's official NeuroHacker or something like that on Twitter. But neurohacker.com. And you'll find cholecystinolytic on our website. And I'm sure there'll be a link in the show notes as well.
Yes, absolutely. Everything will be in the show notes in the description as well. Thank you so much again.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you liked it, and if you like the show in general, please take a second to rate, review, and subscribe. It goes a long way, and it's actually the best way to support the show. Also, if you want to see more about each episode, you can head over to the Blonde Files podcast on Instagram. You can go to ariellaurie.com. And I'm always posting about each episode over on my personal page at ariellaurie.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.